Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm addressing this further intervention on paragraphs 25 to 29, as we had limited our comments to paragraphs 23 and 24 in our earlier intervention, and we were hoping to respond to some of the comments that have been made in the room. Mr. Chair, the UK considers legal reviews to be an important component of our own assurance mechanism. We would highlight the extensive discussion in this group that this group has had about the value of such reviews, and that guiding principle E refers to obligations under international law to determine whether the employment of a new weapon, means, or methods of warfare would, in some or all circumstances, be prohibited by international law. We note that paragraph 25 does not make specific reference to Article 36, but speaks more generally to the obligation to ensure a weapon has the capacity to be deployed lawfully. However, in the drafting of paragraph 29, we need to find consensus around the relevant considerations in relation to the legal review of weapons. We believe this can be done. However, there are a couple of references in the current draft that do not work. We understand that some delegations have highlighted their need for qualifiers. However, we are unsure as to how the line taking into account existing capacities and capabilities gives meaningful guidance, and would also join proposals for this to be deleted. Alternatively, we are amenable to the Norwegian proposal in relation to referring directly to what legal reviews should do. Separately, we're also not clear by what is meant by tasks of a weapon outside its operation against a target. We would suggest that this paragraph could and should focus on the understood parameters of the discipline of weapons review, which place the review in the context of the weapon's manner of operation, circumstances of use, and intended targets. We would therefore suggest the following drafting, which of course we will provide, and which is also subject to the fact that we have indicated that we're amenable to the Norwegian proposal as well. However, so starting legal reviews of weapon systems based on emerging technologies in the area of lethal autonomous weapon systems must seek to assess whether they are capable of being used in conformity with applicable international humanitarian law and international law, and then removing, taking into account existing capacities and capabilities, full stop. Legal reviews should consider, inter alia, the technical performance, its manner of operation, comma, intended circumstances of use, and delete the possible tasks, so it reads, and types of targets as appropriate. In this context, the exchange of relevant best practice between states could enhance adequate assessments for compliance. Mr. Chair, we note suggestions concerning the removal of paragraph 26 and the deletion of the final sentence of paragraph 28. The UK's understanding is that these risk assessment and mitigation paragraphs have cumulative effect, moving from higher level guiding concepts to more specific suggestions. We would not, therefore, agree that it is necessary to remove paragraph 26. We do, however, recognise the challenge that this report should reflect progress and development in our thinking. We would note, without wishing to reopen the debate for today, that paragraph 26 makes appropriate reference to predictability and reliability, without suggesting that these considerations are principles, are foundational principles of international humanitarian law. In relation to those delegations who referred to these concepts earlier as being reflective of the UK policy statement, we would note that this policy statement absolutely recognises concepts of predictability and reliability as to considerations as to how a system can be operated in a manner that meets those core legal obligations, as opposed to as legal obligations themselves. With this in mind, we would propose that the final sentence of paragraph 28 sits more naturally with the high-level legal requirements reflected in paragraph 26, and it complements those concepts. We would therefore suggest it is moved here. The reference to unintended engagements is covered in paragraph 27 and can be removed from paragraph 26, as it undermines the point in this paragraph that the measure should focus on the overall fundamental principles of IHL. Therefore, the paragraph would read, risk assessments and mitigation measures should aim for the system to be sufficiently predictable and reliable, allowing for an understanding of the expected consequences of using the system. removing the following wording in relation to avoiding unintended engagements, continuing to implement the requirements and principles of distinction, proportionality, and precautions in attack. Risk assessments and mitigation measures should involve consideration of risks of civilian casualties and precautions to help minimize the risk of incidental loss of life, injuries to civilians, and damage to civilian objects. Mr. Chair, in relation to paragraph 27, the UK would like to add our support to the proposal of Canada specifying biases in relation to ethnicity, gender, age, and disability. And finally, in line with the comment that I have just made, on paragraph 26, paragraph 28 would conclude after interdisciplinary perspectives and include ethics reviews. Over. Thank you.